We're going to be in our fifth week here in Ephesians, and it's been really a good series. It's like a lot of things, the teachers learn more probably than you do, but I'm glad that you guys have been kind of probably following along and doing the reading in Ephesians. Today we're going to talk about living in love, light, and wisdom, or you might want to switch in there, walking in love, light, and wisdom. We talk a lot about being in Christ, and this is a way of how we live it out. We live it out by living in love, living in light, and living in wisdom. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be covering these verses in Ephesians 1 through 20. Starting out, there's a verse, this verse that starts out in chapter 5. It gives you a really good read for where it's taking you in the fifth chapter. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." When I first became a Christian, when I first decided to follow Jesus, I remember I got it. I understood I needed him. I had sin in my life. I understood he was offering forgiveness, and I yielded my life to him. I asked him for forgiveness, and I literally knew something had switched inside of me. Now, I got up the next morning. I looked in the mirror. I looked just the same, but I knew there had been a transformation of something inside of me. And I remember trying to explain to my friends, like, what has happened to you? I got that question, what has happened to you? And I would try to describe it, and I finally put it this terms. I said, here's the thing is, I'm still messed up, but my wanter has changed. In other words, I want to do things I didn't want to do before. I've never really wanted to please God. I never wanted to be Christ-like. I just never thought much about it. And now I really want to. And I don't know how this has happened, but it's changed. I have a new desire. That's probably the more biblical term is I basically, my soul longed to be more like Christ. And I didn't have that before. And so I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. And so for me, what I found myself doing, and I'm kind of practical, and I thought, I really want to figure out how you live this thing out, right? Because I knew something had changed, and so I said, now I got to be a Christian, whatever that means. And so I remember going through, and I had this big Bible, and I had this yellow marker, and I would, you can see this Bible now, and I would see anything that stood out to me. And here's what stood out to me: anything that would tell me what to do and what not to do. So whenever I see, okay, don't do that. Okay, do this. And I would just yell every time I'd see that. Because I thought, that's a good way of getting started. So I had this whole kind of list. So I scanned the New Testament. Like, in the book of Ephesians, like we've been going through all these chapters, what I remember about Ephesians back then is I looked at chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. I don't understand any of this. And then I got to chapter 4, where it starts talking about, now here's how you live it out. Here's how you live a life where you're calling it. And now we got something. I started marking it, right? Because that other stuff I didn't really understand, but I wanted to get this thing done. So I found myself in a place where I started looking. See, in Ephesians, when you get to 4:17, even in 4, it's like, how do you now live a life worthy of this calling they've talked about in the first three chapters? And so then it begins getting real specific on what it looks like to be a Christian. And so I just made a list here. Those are just out of basically chapter 1 through 5, chapter 4, and chapter 5, these are just some of a list. And this is what I would do. I'd look at my list. I'd highlight the left side. This is what I don't do. The right side, this is what I do, right? And I found myself just trying to do that, right? And what happened was is I began, and quite honestly, it actually had a very positive effect on my life. I became a much more moral person. I became a person who started caring about others more. I started treating girls with respect. I decided, okay, I got to quit cussing and say ugly things about people like I used to. I got to quit getting drunk. So I just started making these changes, right? And it kind of worked. It was really good. I was a much better person, and my life was going better. But what I found myself recognizing after a while was that I had a different behavior, but there's lots of parts of me I really wasn't feeling very free internally. In other words, I was able to say no to certain things, and I knew that was even a gift of God, even being able to want to do that, right? But what I was missing is I had, I guess how I put it, I started reading the Bible. I had lots of revelation about what I should do and what I shouldn't do. I had an understanding what sin was. I understood God more. I had lots of revelation. But what I was really beginning to lack was much transformation. You know what I mean? You guys ever been there? You have that whole list of what you know you should be. You try to change your behavior, and it's still good. And I had some things, but I really was lacking this place of transformation. And so my goal, what I realized, my goal started becoming the list. My goal was, I got to stop being these things on the left and start being the things on the right. And the list kind of became the way I lived. And I thought, you know, this is very different than how Jesus lived. There's something different about this than how Paul this is describing. Even though I was grateful, I knew that was a gift from God, that he'd given me this desire, I didn't really understand the message of Jesus. See, the message of Jesus and the message that Paul is writing to the Ephesians is not that God has given us the power to fight our sinful nature. That is not the message. The message of Jesus is you can be born again, that you can have a whole new nature, that you can live by, you are adopted, that you are dearly loved, that you are joined with Christ, and you have the same spirit in you that raised Christ from the dead. That's a whole different message than a list. And so I began understanding that God wants to transform me. And this process, and many of you may relate to that. Like, I know what you mean, man. I try and it's better. I want to live. I don't want to just live by list. I want to live by something internally transforming me. I want to actually change. In Romans 12, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you do that, you're able to test what God's will is, and it's really good, right? So this place of transformation comes in this place where God gives us a whole new paradigm of how we live life with this understanding of our new nature. Now, so today, what I want to talk about, this place of transformation as we go through this and practically how we begin living in this. You know, the message of Jesus is a message of transformation, not conformity too. It's a big difference. Freedom is also talked a lot about in the Scripture, that Jesus came to set us free. And what that means is, in Christ, what is freedom? Freedom is do what you want. But you have to add something else on that for it to be true freedom. Freedom is doing what you want that you are created to do. That's freedom. Freedom is not doing what you want when you're not created to do. But if you're created to be something, if you're something and you live in that, you find freedom. And so in Christ, we're transformed. And the result is when we're living in that freedom, we start looking like the right side of this list. But it comes in a different way than I was approaching it. And that's what Ephesians is talking about all the way through. So as we kind of set this up, context is so important in Scripture because if you don't, you don't really understand how they got there. This is, the Holy Spirit didn't put chapters in. We did that to break it up, right? It's one long letter and verses. And so to understand the letter, you read the end of it, reading a section of it, we have to kind of understand what came before it, and especially in Ephesians. Because when you see in Ephesians, you see Ephesians 1 starts out with this wild thing that it says about what's true about us, that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and that we have been chosen before the creation of the world. We are made to be blameless in his sight. I mean, things like, whoa. And then it keeps going. And in Ephesians 2, it says, this is how this happened. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You were dead and separated from God, and God came and found you while you're dead, unresponsive, and bred life into you and gave you a new life. And it talks about that we're his masterpiece, that we're no longer strangers. We're actually members of his household, okay? So we see the first and second, and the third chapter, what he talked about is that we have this place where we have this confidence that we can approach God now because there's nothing between us. God, it's been taken care of by Christ, and we're at a place where we can actually experience this deep love of God that we can't even measure its depth. And then he's able to do more than we can possibly imagine through his power. So we think, wow, this has very little to do with us. It's amazing. Now, you understand, those three chapters are to lock this in. And then it goes into chapter 4 and says, by the way, now you need to walk in a manner worthy of your position, of what you've been called into. And begins talking about, we had an old self, it has died. We now quit going back to that. Your new self, put on that, live in that. That's what it means to live in Christ. And so as we look at that, we begin looking at, starting out in, oops, I think I did that. Maybe I pushed a button that I shouldn't have here. Hang on a second. There you go. I never knew that button was there. After 15 years, I never pushed that button before. I don't do it again either. All right. So it's starting out in Ephesians 1. This is a great, powerful starting because it really sets the, I want to spend a little bit more time on this than the rest of it because it sets the tone for the rest of Ephesians 5. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in a way of the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, before we get into the kind of the practical ways of how we are to live in love and to live in light and to live in wisdom, this is important to get this foundation started. And what I'd say is, it says, therefore, as dearly loved children. That is your starting point. If you're looking for transformation of God, the place to start, the reason that it has three chapters in Ephesians that keeps describing this, is for you to know in the depths of your heart that you're dearly loved children of God, that he will never leave, who's a part of you, all right? And in establishing that. And as you think about that, when you think about this whole thing of dearly loved, it really is understanding what it talks about in Corinthians about how, we're a new creation. The old's passed away, the new has come. We're a new person. That we've been crucified with Christ. We no longer live. It's dead. Our old self has died. But Christ lives in me, right? We have this new life. And so understanding that, it allows you to understand this is her. If you want transformation, that is what you have to understand, is God has given you a new life and understand that position that you have with God. Now, what I found is, when you think about why is this so important to have at the foundation, the very first thing is that you know that you're a dearly loved child of God. We have lots of babies around here. There's probably a few hiding out in here, right? Anybody have a baby? No, sorry. All right, hold up your baby. But we have babies everywhere. And I hear we have lots more coming, by the way. So, but babies are interesting because when you have a baby, they just kind of, I've always thought babies should come out like running and ready to go to school. It seems like it'd be more productive. It's like there's this long gap where they don't do anything, nothing. They're just babies, right? They don't pay the rent. They don't clean the dishes. They crap over everything. I mean, it's like they just, you know what you do with, and so why is that? I think there's a reason that God parallels us with children so often, because there's parallels that are just helpful. You know what you do with a baby? We had our girls, you know what we did with them? We sat around and stared at them a lot, smiled at them, loved on them, kissed them, made them laugh. Oh, we loved it when they made them laugh. When they cried, we comforted them. We cleaned up their messes. We did all the stuff. We fed them. We rocked them. We danced with them. We gooed over them, right? You know what they did? They just responded. But they didn't do much else. You know why it's so important to have a baby that you do that with for so long? Because for that baby to actually be transformed into the child that they should be, they have to know the depths of their heart they're unconditionally loved. And the more they know that, the more the better they'll do. And so for all you people who are tired of looking at your baby, realize you're doing a lot. You're building a base of them being a beloved child. And then on that, you can find yourself understanding that that is huge. For you as a follower of Jesus, knowing that you're a beloved child is your starting point. That's where everything is anchored on. And then there's a second part of this that I want to just kind of emphasize before we dive into some more specifics is this. It says, follow God's example, okay? And uses the example of following Jesus as God. And so following God as an example, actually, I think that actually the more correct interpretation of this would be imitate. The word that's used for follow example is really the same word we get mime from in the Greek. You know, it's imitating. What they do, you do, right? And in this spot, as you look at that, is crucial. Now, what I find is when you think about a child, what you start realizing is they know who they are and they know they're loved, and then there's this other process of development comes. What is that about? It's about following examples. It's about imitating, right? You know, the question that I hear around, like, do people really change, you know? They do. I mean, the thing about Jesus, it's not about behavior control. He literally can change you, right? And so how does transformation happen? And actually, there's kind of two spectrums that you'll hear out there, and they have a tendency of leaning one way or the other. One spectrum is saying, how are you truly transformed? And the person says, it's obedience and following the example of Jesus. If you're obedient and you imitate Jesus, if you follow the example of Jesus, and you do what he says, you obey him, you'll be transformed, right? Just what the scripture says. I do what the scripture says. And that's how you're transformed. Okay, you like that one? There's another side. Well, you know, really, it's really understanding who you are. It's really understanding what Christ has done for you. It's understanding that your true identity, that the Spirit is within you. You know, it's not about doing those things. It's about knowing your standing. And if you know and you experience God's love for you, you will be transformed. So which is right? Both. You have to realize it's based on no merit. They were unconditionally loved and God's child. But you have to realize if you think about a child developing, what you see is you see this place of what happens in this context of being loved and knowing they have all the potential within them, and as you're alongside them, they're both obeying and they're both imitating. In that process, they're transformed. All right? These things aren't against each other, right? And so understanding that, like I thought about when I taught my girls to, anybody taught their kids to ride bikes? I mean, it's a scary problem. You're always acting like it's all fine. You think they're going to die. Oh, it's fine. No, you always see the person who teaches the ride in the back going like this, and then they're by the kid. Oh, yes, it's great. And then they leave them, and they go, oh, it's going to go. So I remember teaching my kids to ride a bike. And how was that? Well, first off, they had something in them that wanted to ride a bike. They were bike riders. They just didn't know it was in them all the way. It hadn't been developed out, but it was always there. But I had to come alongside them, because they trusted me. I didn't give them a book, here, ride a bike, didn't record a recording, listen to this, go ride your bike. I stayed alongside of them. I said, you do it this way. They imitated me. That's how you do this way. They watched me. I stayed alongside them, and I was encouraging them, and I was basically saying, no, don't do that, do this. Don't do that, do this. The whole purpose was so they could learn how to ride a bike, right? When God is... it transforms us. It's in all those areas, right? In Corinthians, it talks about how transformation really takes. And you'll see this quite often in Scripture. Transformation is often tied in Scripture to seeing God. You see him, you're transformed by fixing your eyes on him, right? We see him and we see it all the way through Scripture. So there's the verse that often... talks about probably the clearest is in Corinthians, where Paul said this, is, and we all, who with unveiled faces, means that we have nothing between us and God because of Christ, we can look him right in the eyes, right? With unveiled, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image, an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So most people, when they hear that, they think in a term of, I am going to contemplate the most amazing thing of God, his love, his power, his sovereignty, his love for me, his mercy. That really is contemplating the glory of God, right? But you have to understand, it's looking at all of God, right? And it's also looking at his model and his example and his commands. All those things are the glory of God. And we have to realize that so when you're being transformed, you're really focusing in on the relationship of God and both in through what he's saying, what he's doing, how he sees you. It's all that together. Now, the next is this. If you live in love, so let's start down the line. The first way that I would say that we know what to do if you want to be transformed is you have to live in love or walk in love, all right? And it starts out this way because it kind of encompasses everything, right? It's right. It starts out the very first thing is walk in love. And look how it describes what love is. Again, it's the following the example. What was the example? The example was that Jesus loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. That's what love is. If you want to be transformed, understand that it's about you yielding yourself fully to God and loving him and caring about people around you. That's where you can tell. Like if you want to say, how does it look to ride a bike? How does it look to be transformed? It looks like that. You start opening all of yourself up and yielding yourself and also loving the people around you. And then we look down further and it talks about kind of defining even more specifically what love is. Now, if you read these verses without understanding the context of you being a beloved child, you can just get overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible person. But when you read in the context of him saying, I want you to know how to live the way you truly are made to be, it's a whole different story. He says, but among you, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. But rather, for of this, you can be sure, no immoral or impure or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. And again, he's saying is, you need to learn how to live according to how I show you how to do this. And love is not these things. You know, when I'm teaching my kids to ride the bike, they kept doing this thing. They kept pedaling backwards, which means the brakes went on, and they would wipe out. Or they would just hold my... They grip that brake, you know, and I'd say, no, you can't go forward if you keep pedaling backwards, if you keep doing these things. It's the opposite of what you want to do. And what it's saying in all these things it's talking about, this place is saying, if you're trying to be transformed by God and yet you're living in immorality, it just doesn't work, because that starts getting ahead of God and that becomes an idol. And all these things can become idols if you do that. And so you have to understand, oh no, I can't do that. That's not love. That doesn't allow, it blocks me from living a life of both loving God and loving other people. And then we go on further. It says we live in love, and then we also live in light. You know, when I take my kids out to teach them to ride the bike, it wasn't in pitch black of night. It was in the bright morning. Because if you want to be able to see and do the right thing, you've got to be able to see what's going on. You have to have understanding and be able to see what's there. And darkness blinds you from that. Now look how it defines this. For you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, this is a big one. If you want transformation, you not only live in love, you live in light. And it's just the way it works spiritually. When you hide things of your life, they can't be accessed by God, but they can be accessed by the enemy. So whatever you hide, you guarantee will be accessed by the enemy. You guarantee it can't be brought to God. And so you have to be intentional. That's why it talks so much about humbling ourselves. Humbling yourself is just saying, this is the way I really is. This is who I really am. This is where I'm really struggling with. It's just living in that light and saying, God, shine on me. Shine all the good things and illuminate them and shine on anything that's displeasing to you. You know, I want to live in the light. That's why we have community. That's why we have one another, because it helps us live in the light. And there's this amazingly powerful thing happens in this place of light. It allows you to see things you couldn't have seen before. You know, I don't know how many times I'm going along and I just kind of get away from God, and all of a sudden I can't see what's happening. I think I can, but I come to God and all of a sudden, I see what's happening. Oh, yeah. But it's just a principle. You just have to have lots of light. And light does this. I mean, we are people of light. We speak the truth. We are honest. We're transparent. We don't hide our stuff. That is because it gives access for transformation. And the thing about this is we're children of light. I mean, that's wild. That's who you are. You're not children of darkness. Now you're children of light. So live in that. And when you live in it, it's going to transform you. In fact, I love this verse. It's like almost too good to be true as you look at this verse, but it's talking about this place in which that it says, but everything that is exposed by light becomes visible. That's a simple principle. If you want to see what's really there, invite God into it. And you'll see the beauty of God. You also see the things that are not what he wants, but by exposing him, this thing happens. Here's what happens. And everything that is illuminated becomes light. Everything. You know what that's saying? It's saying even your darkness, even the things that you struggle with. So if like, for instance, probably no one has this issue today, but if you happen to have a little bitterness, or you're hiding an area of sin in your life, or you have a fear that torments you, or if you have been hurt, if you have a love for money and you pursue it and you're afraid to give it away, you're afraid to be generous, it has a hook into you, or if you're in a place where you have a tendency of gossiping, or you have a problem with rage or condemnation or shame or pride or name it, being critical or judgmental, you know, you need God's light. And if you do, it's not like you just put it in the light, and the light does it. It takes that light, it shows you what it truly is, takes the condemnation out of it, takes the shame out of it, gives the power of God to come into it, and it takes whatever it is that's in the light and turns into something that's light. But it also works for the things that maybe you're just passionate about, the things that God's talking to you about, these areas of your life that you're excited about, that you feel like God may be calling you into, but you're not sure. Bring it in the light. Let God show you more of what he wants to say to you. We're people that are to live in the light. And if we want transformation, then that is what we do. Now, the last living in is living in wisdom. You know, God is an amazing teacher and wants to show us what to do in situations that are way, way beyond us of knowing what to do. He just loves to give us wisdom. He loves us when we say, what do I do to answer that prayer? I need help. I don't know what to do. And he loves to do it not just once in a while, but he loves to do it in every opportunity. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus. You know, what I used to say when I was helping my kids learn how to ride the bike was, watch out, watch out. Hey, hey, pay attention, pay attention. Like, you know, they start drifting off looking at the ducks. No, pay attention, you know. They needed instruction. They needed to say, no, don't do that, do that. They needed wisdom. They needed to have me say, hey, pay attention, be wise, be alert. You know, there's a lot of obstacles. There was strollers and water on one side, and it was like, you got to pay attention, right? And in this life, we have a lot coming at us. We have lots of obstacles coming our way. And God's saying, you need to understand this. You need to walk with intentionality of saying, God, I need wisdom in this situation. And not just once in a while. So every opportunity, there's a place for God to do something and speak to you. I don't know how many times I've tubed out, and I get done, and I think, that was a waste of 3 hours. I didn't even ask God one question at that time. There's nothing wrong with, you know, escaping in TV or sometimes. But I'm telling you, I don't know how many times I've not made the best of every opportunity because I think my way's better. But what I've learned is, if I give God just a little chance to tell me, how would you see the situation? What do you want to do in the situation? My life starts becoming alive. I start looking and seeing things because I'm just asking for help. I mean, I want to be one of those kids that say, how do I do this? Show me, God. Show me how to see this. I can't see correctly. You know, as we look at that, when it talks about being careful, the Greek word really is heed, which means, you know, I mean, it can be translated heed, which the Greek word really means to look, to see, perceive, and discern. You know, we just need to be at that way, looking around, perceiving, and discerning as we go through life. And we our time's short. We want to make the best of every opportunity. Now, so today, you know, I just want us to understand that we're dearly loved children of God if you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, it can change today. You can come into his kingdom and he will accept you. He's at offers for us. But those who know him, who've received his forgiveness, you are dearly loved children. This is a picture of Kalani, just because when you're grandfather, you always use pictures of people that you love the most. And so, Anya I love just as much, but my other granddaughter. But I think about this because Kalani at this stage wasn't doing much but, you know, sleeping and spitting up and pooping. That's it, you know? And so there's so much love. You know, I just love this kid, right? I remember what that felt like, right? And then time went on, and Kalani knew he was dearly loved, but then he began understanding what humans understand. This is what I've made for. I'm made to walk. I'm made to just roll over at first, and now I'm made to walk, and it started moving. And I remember when he could start pulling up, and he was so excited he could start walking. You know, he would lean on things. We'd all cheer him on because he was developing. You know, and now, you know, he's on a trampoline, you know, doing these crazy flips, right? So where was he loved the most, right? No difference. Unconditional all the way through. But he developed and transformed into something that was already in him. And he did it by knowing how deeply he was loved and how secure he was in that love. And then he began, those things within him, he began listening, obeying, and imitating the example, and it transformed him. Spiritually, it's the same thing. We are people who are God's beloved children. But if you understand, it talks a lot in Ephesians about now grow in this. You know, it's basically saying, you have it all in you. It's your identity. Now live it out. Grow in it. And he wants to transform us into completely different people. That is the thing. I can't tell you how much of all the pressures and stuff that come with pastor. When I see this happening over and over again, I can tell you story after story of people literally changing from the inside out, transforming, not just behavior modification. I'm watching them. I know them. I'm watching this happen. I think, oh, this is amazing. It's normal in the kingdom. But sometimes we get stuck because we start living by lists. And we have to live out of being a beloved child, saying, God, I want to know what you have for me. So, think about these things. What it's like to live in love. Starting as a beloved child, live in light and live in wisdom. And I want to just give you a challenge today. Is first off, read the rest of Ephesians, start in 5:21, read on through. Maybe read back over the whole book. Is kind of nice to get a review as we go back into our last week. And so do that. But today, I really want to challenge you to ask God to communicate you in one of these, it should be four areas because I added one on there, of what God might be talking to you, maybe in one or all those areas. Pay attention to the things that stood out to you as I talked, because that's how God gets our attention. He knows how to communicate, and so we get these, oh, I'm thinking about that a lot. It's kind of causing me to want that more. Or I see that differently now. That's God talking to you. So look at those areas of living in God's love, living in God's light, living God's wisdom, and living as a beloved child. Like, maybe God wants to talk to you about those areas and how that might look for you. And just say, I want to learn. I want to hear from you. I want to know. Because what you're doing is you're doing what you want, and you're just being who you are. When you're in Christ, freedom comes because you get to do what you want because you live by this new nature, and what you want is what God desires for you and how you're designed, and you experience freedom, and you experience transformation.